So we had a lock-in, and yesterday I had this after the lock-in. First of all, I slept 7 hours after it was done. I had this weird limp on the right leg, like my hip joint was like hurting. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, a lot of horror stories about lock-ins. But thankfully, this one was a success. Nobody went to the ER. Nobody broke anything. So I would call it a win. Before we begin, I want to just extend a word of thank you to everyone in the Lehman Avenue family. You guys have graciously taken me in, treating me like one of your own, and shown me much love and hospitality and care and support. And I can't thank you enough for that. Without that, I wouldn't have been able to do, you know, even what I did this past summer. So thank you. Hopefully next summer and whenever I'm back, we'll be able to do even more for the Lord. So bucket lists are fun to think about, you know. It's a concept where you have a list, right? It's a list of things that you want to do before your time is up, basically, right? Things that you want to accomplish, things maybe you want to buy or have, do before, you know, you kick the bucket, so to speak. A lot of people have, you know, extraordinary and extravagant stuff in their bucket list. Maybe you want to skydive before your time is up. I don't know why you would. maybe you want to go to a faraway land, maybe somewhere in Asia or Europe, and travel the world and experience all these things. Or, you know, maybe it's a little smaller, more humble. You know, maybe you just want to have a stable job or have a beautiful family, see grandkids, you know. Lots of things can be in a bucket list of somebody. And it's a fun exercise. It's a fun exercise. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's paired with this hypothetical situation of, you know, what if you knew you only had an X amount of time before you would die, you know. What would you do with the time that you have, right? If you knew you were going to die in 2 days, right? Within those 48 hours, what would you do, right? How would you spend that time, and what would you try to accomplish? What would you try to fit in, right? Your bucket list. A month or so back, I was eating dinner over there at the Arnold's residence. They weren't there. They were in Florida enjoying their time. So I was just all alone, a lonely college student eating dinner all by himself. And, you know, I was just looking at my phone, going through Twitter, social media. I know, phone at the dinner table, unthinkable. But I'm an adult. I can do it. And you know, during all of that, I was sort of thinking about my bucket list. You know, what do I want to do before I have to do things that I have to do, like pay taxes or settle down with a family or have a job. Maybe I wanted to travel. I mean, there are some things in my bucket list. For example, I want to hit all the states in the United States, go to their national parks, you know, experience different things. I want to go to more trips with my buddies, you know, my friends. We went to the beach, Gulf Shores, before summer started, and that was really fun. So I'm like, okay, I want to do that again. Maybe find a girlfriend. So a lot of things were rolling about in my head about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish and a lot of different things that I wanted to experience and have fun with, you know. I guess that's, you know, my bucket list in my head. And during all that, I was scrolling through Twitter. It's like the Facebook for younger people. And I came across this one tweet. And it caught my attention. It was one of those spiritual, inspirational kind of post. And I can't remember who it was from. Maybe if you have Twitter, you've seen it before. But the tweet basically was saying this. This person said, if I knew I was going to be alive for only a few more days or a certain amount of time, right, I would go crazy. You know? If I knew exactly how much time I had left in my life, I would just bust out the door and do all these things that I've always wanted to do, maybe even break a few laws while doing it. I mean, what's stopping me? I'm going to be dead in a few days or so, right? I would go crazy. I would go nuts. But then I remember that Jesus knew that he was going to be alive for only a short amount of time and die soon. And he washed feet. And just before I had read that tweet, and like I told you, in my mind were rolling around thoughts that were all about me and what I wanted to do and the things I wanted to accomplish. And then I read that tweet. I remembered John 13, our scripture this morning. Jesus knew that one of his disciples, he was about to betray him, and he was going to be arrested and to be delivered up, to be hung on the cross. A painful death. A death only reserved for the worst criminals of his time. He knew he was going to die like that very soon. And yet he stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples. What a bucket list does is it tells us about ourselves, right? Of course, if you're talking with other people about what's in your bucket list, you're not going to be completely honest about what you really want to do. Maybe you have some innermost desires that you really wish to indulge in. Maybe some of them are even shameful, right? And you don't wish to ever talk about it. But it's there, right? Human desires. And this thought experiment, this fun little concept called the bucket list, it's a manifestation, right, of your desires, what you want to do, what you want to accomplish in your life, things that you want to have. And it reveals our deepest desires, and it affirms our priorities in our hearts. It's a hypothetical scenario that gives us an excuse to voice what's deep inside our heart, our desires, our aspirations. And when I remember what Jesus did, when he knew for certain that he only had a limited amount of time before he would experience the most agonizing and painful death for the sake of others, for the sake of his disciples and his loved ones, for the sinners around the world, when I remember that, I think of, you know, what's in my bucket list? If I were in Jesus' shoes, and I knew I was about to die, and I knew exactly how much time I had left, what would I be doing? How would the things in my heart, the desires and aspirations and goals, how would those things manifest in my life? And I guess, by extension, I can ask, you know, what's in your bucket list? If you knew you had an X amount of time, what would you do? Would it look like what Jesus did when he stooped down and washed the feet of his disciples? And you know, a bucket list doesn't have to be bad, right? I'm not saying having those goals, having those aspirations are necessarily a bad thing. And bucket lists, you know, it's those lists of things that you want to do, the to-do list, right? It's a fun little thing, right? It's not inherently immoral. It's amoral. Maybe to you, it's just an innocent list of things that you want to accomplish in life. You know, we all want to be somebody, right? I want to do something in my life that's worth remembering, right? If you have children, you want them to live a happy and fulfilling life. You want their children to remember you as good people, right? You want to do work for the Lord. You want to do these things in this world. And that's fine. But Jesus didn't even have that. He suppressed all of himself, even before the most excruciating death, for the sake of God's will. If you look at Hebrews 12, verse 3 through 4, the Hebrews writer tells us, you know, we have not yet drawn blood in our struggle against sin. Right? And that's true. We live in a luxury. We live a luxurious life. And I'm not talking about physically, necessarily, or monetarily, necessarily. Even spiritually, we live in a luxury. We don't have to fear persecution. And sure, there are crazy things that are happening outside in the world that warrant some fear and nervousness. But at the end of the day, compared to, for example, the first century Christians, we don't have to worry about the government or some higher power in this world physically persecuting us or preventing us from worshiping our God. And though we are straying, this nation is still, based on Scripture, this nation is still Christian in terms of foundation, right? So we have spiritual luxury. We live in a spiritual luxury. And so we've just gotten used to this selfishness in our hearts. The culture of the mainstream world, right, it constantly justifies self-serving attitudes and self-prioritizing behaviors. And they label it as healthy and good, right? You need to be able to treat yourself. You need to be able to serve yourself, right? And even as Christians have kind of fallen prey to that kind of propaganda, that agenda of serving self, putting self above even God. And this is especially true to us Christians living in first world countries, right? Where are those resources to back up that kind of selfish thinking. And we spend more time thinking about what to eat for lunch after church, or where to go on our next family vacation, or what to wear to school tomorrow, what major to pursue if you're going to college, so on and so forth. Then we think of ways in which we can submit to God and stoop down to the level of people's feet. How many times have I asked myself, in those moments when I'm just by myself and thinking to myself, nobody else is there to listen or judge or look, how many times have I asked myself in those moments, is there someone I can pray for today rather than, what am I craving for dinner? How many times have I asked, or have I told myself, I need to trust God and pray and hope that He will work good in my life, no matter what that looks like, rather than calculating and planning all these things in order to advance myself in life, in order to achieve those goals that I have set for myself? How many times have I thought of someone else and their possible struggle in life, whether that be physical, mental, or spiritual, before occupying my mind with my problems, with my issues, what I'm having to deal with? the answer, if I'm being honest, is shameful. Especially when I remember that Jesus, in those most vulnerable moments, did not serve himself, but stooped even lower than his disciples to wash their nasty, dirty, grimy feet. Our Lord, our Master, our Savior, Son of God, even before his time of his death, Jesus denied himself completely and wholly, gave himself for the will of God, for the will of his Father. And when I compare my justifications for the selfish thoughts that I have in my life, I'm ashamed. And the scene of my Lord and Savior stooping down to wash the feet of his disciples fill my mind and remind me that perhaps still, even still, too much of myself occupy my heart. It poses the question, am I really, truly denying myself and carrying that cross, carrying my cross? Am I truly denying myself to follow Jesus? And I want to make something clear. Humility does not equal depravity, right? I don't want you to get this idea that I'm telling you to, or even Jesus told you to, liquidate all your assets and then just go out there and sell it all and become nomads. But there is something that we can always give up. There is something that we can always deny. And it's not money, it's not our things, it's not our properties. It's our will. Our own selfish will. You can have all the money in the world, and you can still be a servant of Christ, using those assets and those resources for the good of his kingdom. You can be the poorest guy in the world with nothing, and you can still have self on the throne in your heart. So what matters is not what we have. It's not what we're giving up, right? What matters is our willingness to submit to God. And Jesus did that. And in my humble opinion, John chapter 13, that scene is one of his greatest examples of his submission and his humility and ultimately his love. And it'll continue to manifest until his death on the cross. And it still does today. Isn't that incredible? It still continues today. And we live in that luxury. We live. And we are able to gather here and worship God. Why? Why? We're able to praise his name without shame. Why? Because Jesus was willing to stoop that low. Because Jesus was willing to wash feet. And I find myself asking, am I washing feet? So, the ultimate question for this morning, not for you only, but for myself also, is this. What's in my bucket list? What's filling up that list of things that I wish to do? Is it the things that I want to do and I want to accomplish? Right, in those moments, like me, a lowly college student, just eating dinner by himself, looking at social media. And even in those moments, right, the self tries to creep back in. I should say, especially in those moments, yourself will try to creep back in into your heart and take over the throne that should be reserved for God and his will, Jesus and his humility. And in those moments, when we truly honestly ask ourselves, what's in our bucket list? Is our answer shameful when compared to the scene of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples? Or is it filled to the brim, overflowing with God's will? We need to constantly ask ourselves, are the things in this life, are the goals that I have, or the things that I want to do, are my calculations, my plans, my devices, are they more valuable than Christ, than God? If we are honest with ourselves, then we would erase everything that we have in our bucket list, whatever those things are, and just put God there, His will. If our Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ, was so willing to stoop down to the level of His disciples' feet, then what are we doing? What am I doing? Am I still justifying the self over Christ within me? Or is my bucket list going to be filled with the will of God and the humility of Christ? If you're not a Christian, that's what being a Christian is all about. It's no longer about the self. It's bigger than that. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about I, right? It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about your neighbors, even those who would persecute you. That kind of humility, that kind of love Jesus has shown us, it saves. It saves our soul. So if you're not a Christian, I hope you will ask this morning, is whatever I'm doing or whatever I have in this life really worth more than God? And I hope that the scene where Jesus, before his death, stoops down to wash the feet of his loved ones, I hope that'll inspire you to revise your bucket list and fill it with God. Fill it with Jesus. Fill it with His will. If you are a Christian and you have put on Christ through the watery grave of baptism, we can still ask that question. Who is on the throne in my heart? Is it God or is it me? That question will never go out of fashion. That question will never be not applicable. In those most vulnerable moments, when you're not thinking about the spiritual, you're not necessarily contemplating the meaning of life, and you're not studying the Bible, when you're just sitting there all by yourself, even in those moments, is God still on the throne? Are we being honest with ourselves? Are we being honest to God? I hope that we will continue to wash the feet of others, just like our Savior did, even before His death. Again, I want to thank everyone. My goal here, when I first came here, was to be a servant. And hopefully I was able to do that. All of you, the members here, have inspired me and provided me with unending support and love. I hope that you will continue that. I hope that your heart will always be filled with that love that exemplifies Christ, the humility that was exemplified by Christ in John chapter 13. So, whatever it is that you need, please come forward as we stand and sing.